What a joy it is again to take this day. I'm so glad our country does this. I was very thankful when we went to France for language school to also see that France, the French, also recognized Mother's Day. And it was a blessing for Joanna, especially because they never did it on the same Sunday as we did it in America. So it would be within a couple weeks apart. So we were able to honor Joanna twice that time, and in that sense. But we're thankful that we can have, again, this opportunity. If you would, turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter number 2, please. Excuse me. Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. I'll begin reading in verse number 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. In verse 25, And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. I want to preach a message to you this morning. Eve, the mother of all living. The mother of all living. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for moms. Lord God, I am so grateful for the mother that you gave me. And Lord, I know that among us here today carries that same spirit of gratitude. And I am praying that as we look to the life of Eve, the first mother of the human race, we would look to her and learn some things and be encouraged and strengthened and reminded. And I pray for our moms too, Lord, again, to be honored by your presence and by the power of your Spirit. And Lord, we commit the results of this message to you. And Lord, I cannot do it, but I pray that you would do it through me. And so, Lord, now we commit these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A little boy forgot his lines in a Sunday school presentation. His mother was in the front row to prompt him. And she signaled and formed the words silently with her lips. But it did not help. The little boy was still lost. We've been there. We've seen that happen. So this sweet mother saw that her son's memory was blank. He could not think of the line. So finally, she leaned forward and whispered the cue. And this is what she said to him, I am the light of the world. The child beamed with great feeling and louder, clear voice and said, My mother is the light of the world. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of truth to that.
God gave us mothers as a great gift. And they do give a wonderful light in our lives. And I believe Eve, just like all of us, though went through a time of failure and difficulty, Eve also was used to be a great light. And as we look at her life, I want us to notice several aspects. Number one, I want us to see her start. Her start, her beginnings. What was she created for? And I believe God tells us very clearly, it was indeed to complete creation. It was unfinished. God had created the world. He had created the atmosphere and the stars and the suns and the animals. He had created all. He had created man. But it was not complete. He saw that His magnificent creation was yet to be filled and completed. And there was something remaining that would put the final glorious touch upon it and make it all good. All good. And that final blessed touch was indeed Eve, the mother of all living. She would complete. She would complete His creation. What a wonderful truth that we see in the Word of God. And we see here the importance of it indeed. We could give so many reasons this morning on why God gave us mothers. But we see the founding truths here from the life of Eve. And we could make a huge list. I mean, a tremendous list, an ongoing list of all that moms do and women in general. But because we know even those that perhaps did not have the opportunity of being a biological mother still have the opportunity to mother many through their love and compassion as far as showing them care and love. But it's like one little boy was asked, there's some elementary kids and the school was around Mother's Day and they always help the kids draw these nice pictures and they ask them questions to write down. And I love this one little fellow's response. He was asked, why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? This was his response. God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me. There's a lot of truth to that, too. We know that. But there are so many reasons that God has blessed us with moms. It was to complete creation, but I would say secondly, and just as important that goes along with it, He created Eve to complete Adam. Adam. Adam was not complete. Adam needed help. And we see here that God recognized that, and He said Himself, it is not good that man should be alone. You know, there's the old story that says, and it actually only works in English, but there's the old story, well, where did the actual name, the word woman, come from? I like this one guy's response. He said, when Adam first saw this beautiful creation of woman before his eyes, he said, whoa, man. There might be some truth to that, but it doesn't work because he spoke in Hebrew. But it works in English. But that's the truth. It is a woman is a beautiful creation of God, and she was created to complete man. That word is that idea of not good, that man should be alone. That word of being alone simply means a couple things. This word not good is basically meaning incomplete. It also carries the idea, men, and you, if you're honest, you're going to agree. It carries the idea of man being dysfunctional. Amen? You men, be honest. That carries the idea of God saying, look, Adam needs a helpmeet. He needs someone to encourage him, complete him for the purpose of glorifying my name. And you husbands out there and dads, you know for a fact that that is true. Where would we be without our wives? Where would the children be without the influence of their mother? How important that is. And a helpmeet. someone to come alongside, not someone to be stomped on in a sense of a dictator. I like what Matthew Henry said about this idea of Eve and what God intended her purpose to be. He said this, quote, "God took Eve from Adam's side, not from his head to rule over him, and not from his feet to be trampled on. God took her from Adam's side to be his equal, to be protected under his arm and loved close to his heart." I think that's a wonderful, balanced statement and quote from Matthew Henry. That is, she is created equally with man. Yes, different roles, and yes, different functions and purposes, but equal nevertheless. So we see her start was to complete creation. And wow, you know, you could make that statement. I believe you could. God saved the best for last. He certainly did. And he gave this world, the human race, woman, Eve, the mother of all living. But then secondly, we see her beginning. We see her start. But then secondly, we do see a sad part of Eve's life. A part that every person in this room can relate to. We see her sin. But before her sin, there was her innocence. We see several points under this this point of her sin. It did not start off with sin. It started off with Eve and her innocence. Eve was without sin. Adam was without sin. You'll remember in the first dispensation or the time of God's creation, there was innocency. There was both Adam and Eve who were completely innocent. They were in an innocent environment. They had been placed in an environment that was perfect. They had not been tainted by sin at this point in their lives. They had everything they needed. Everything. God had provided them everything. He just had made it a point that you were prohibited of this one tree. That was the one they were not to take from. Well, during this period that everything was going fine, Adam and Eve in perfect fellowship with God Almighty, there was perfect fellowship. But then the world would change forever. But it would, of course, be met by the provisions of God as well. We see her temptation. Look there in chapter 3 of Genesis. We see the temptation that came upon her. It says there in verse 1 of chapter 3, "Now the serpent," that's Satan, "was more subtle," that means deceitful, "than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Church, you notice here that Satan goes after Eve. Now, I'm not suggesting to you I know all the reasons why he went to Eve first. I don't know all that. I don't know where Adam was in this picture, whether Adam should have been there. We don't know that, and we can't speculate too much. But we do know that Satan did go after Eve to deceive her. And you say, how could she be deceived by a talking animal? You say, did they talk in the garden? Well, some think so, and I think there's good reason to believe that. That they did perhaps talk at one time because it wasn't too surprising. But I want you to remind you another thing. They had not been tainted by sin. There was no fear in their lives. I don't know about you, but when I see a snake, I have fear. I run. I don't care if it's just a water snake, okay? I don't even like rubber snakes, okay? I remember we had VBS up here, and man, somebody scared the death out of me. They put some of these fake snakes up here, and I saw that, and I tell you, they was trying to kill the preacher. I know they were. Scared me to death. But you see, they had no fear then. And another thing to remember about the Word of God, the Bible says in Corinthians that Satan is like an angel of light. The world depicts him as this red, ugly, monster-looking man with a pitchfork. And I want to tell you, that is absolutely incorrect. He is an angel of light, and he is the master of disguise, and he will fool you quicker than you could ever think. He's subtle. And you understand, when he came to the garden, he was subtle. The word of God says it. He went to trick her and to deceive her, and that he did. He used deceit. But you see Eve's response here in her sin. It was a response of doubt. And I want to tell you, church, if Satan can get us to doubt this book, he's won. And that is his goal, to get us to doubt the precious word of God. And we see she began to doubt. And this is the thing, too, that we have to be very careful. She actually did use the word of God. She said to Satan, when he tempted her, the woman said unto him, look, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. In verse 3, she said, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, that's the word of God, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. All right? So she had the word of God, and she used it. You know, the truth is, Eve, you know how much of the Bible Eve had? She had about 2 verses, okay? We have a lot more than that. We have the whole Bible, but in this beginning time, she had 2 verses. She knew that God had said, you're not going to eat of that tree. Not eat of that tree. If you do, you're going to die. She knew that. But Satan targeted her on that and got her to doubt the very word of God she was depending upon. He deceived her. He preyed on her and he got her to doubt, and then she misused it. It was a grave and common error that we see in the word of God. And he got her to doubt the word of God. She did not stick to it. And her Bible was sufficient enough, just like our Bible is, but it did not hold her up. Her faith in the Word of God, she doubted. And her fall, she gave in to what we are all guilty of. We're not going to pick on Eve, because she is representative of every person here. Eve gave in. And the fall took place. She gave in to her feelings instead of the faith of the Word of God. Satan tried to get her to doubt, and that's a whole nother message, how he doubted the Word of God and doubted the perspective. Hath God really said this, Eve? And got her basically to feeling, well, you know, maybe I can take of this fruit. Maybe it is all right. Maybe God's just trying to withhold something from me that I deserve. That's something he will attack us on, Satan. He certainly will. We have to be careful. We see her fall, and that's exactly what happened. Death came upon them after Satan then would go to Adam. And men, let me tell you something here. You don't for a moment start pointing that this is, and I've heard this, and people have laughed about this, but the truth is, it's not accurate. They said, this is all the woman's fault. I want to tell you, Adam tried that. He said, it's the woman that thou gavest me. And God said, oh no, you're not going there. It is not the woman's fault, because if you even think about it, if you look at the scriptures in Timothy, you'll see where Eve was actually deceived. She was deceived, but not Adam. Adam was deliberate. She was deceived, and when she took of the fruit, and however that came together, Adam just went ahead and said, yes, I want some of that too. He was deliberate. She was deceived. Nevertheless, it was devastation. There was death because of sin. But we see, it doesn't end there, thank God. We see, next of all, we don't only see her start and her sin, but then we see her salvation. Praise God. Look with me over at verse number 15. We see that because of the fall, there's the curse that God describes going through verse 6 through the rest, most of the chapter 3, but look at verse 15. But he gives a promise here. There's a prophecy. Here's the first promise of the Messiah church, the Messiah King Jesus. Look what it says in verse 15. A part of the curse upon Satan was this. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and what is those next two words, church? Her seed. Her seed, that's the seed of the woman, and it says, and God says, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Hey, that's talking about Satan's head being crushed by Calvary. The cross was prophesied here, and this, we see this salvation that is prophesied, seed would bring forth the Messiah. Wow. Yes, her sin and Adam's sin brought forth death, but get this, her seed would bring forth the Redeemer. Wow. Yes, Eve made a grave mistake, and Adam, but the truth is, we see redemption in the life of Eve. We see God looking at her and saying, yes, yes, the curse is going to be upon you and the whole human race, upon you and your husband Adam, but I want to tell you, I'm going to redeem you. And look how he does that. We see a personal salvation. Look back over there with me in verse number 21. It says here, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin. Now get this, I want to say that again. To his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. That right there is the first instance of the shedding of blood. That is a picture of Calvary. That is a type of Jesus Christ fulfilling the redemption plan through the cross. And we see that there was the coats given. And I'm thankful that it's even clarified in the very beginning that it's God who makes the coats. It's God who makes the provision. Man and our society all across this globe, they're constantly trying to make their own coats of righteousness. They're trying to earn their righteousness. They're trying to earn their favor. We see it in our churches in America. We see it in Africa. We see it in Asia. We see it in all these religions of the world. Men, the human race, trying to make their own coats. But God says, I'm the only one who will make the coat. And I will do it by the shedding of blood, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. There's no forgiveness outside of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God made a way for Eve, even in her fall. He provided redemption. I tell you what, I can't imagine maybe what was going through Eve's life from time to time. Most of us can relate to this, but you recall Eve with this great fall. I'm sure there were times of great depression. I'm sure Satan, after he got her, and he did, deceived her, and he got Adam, he got the human race, he thought he had won. He thought he had won. He says, yes, I did it. And I'm sure that during that time, even after Eve got saved and God provided those coats, and it was by faith that she received that, and we see that probably, I think even after that, I can't help but think there were times in Eve's life where she doubted and she struggled. And Satan tempted her. See what you did, Eve. See what you've caused. And tried to put guilt upon her. And tried to hurt her and harm her and hinder her. And from being the godly mother that God called her to be and that she was being. I believe that. One of my favorite songs recently. I can't remember even how I came across it. But it's called, It's Under the Blood. I want to read this portion of the song to you. There's other verses, but I think about Eve, and I think about folks here, myself, of times when Satan tries to hurt us and accuse us and slander us for perhaps a shortcoming, perhaps a fall, a weakness. Listen to what the songwriter says. While walking down memory lane not so long ago, Satan came by my side making me feel low. He brought up all the hurt and pain when I had gone astray. He wanted to discourage me as I walked along life's way. He said, you're undeserving because I know where you've been. I have a record of your life when you were bound in sin. I know your darkest secrets that you would never tell. What makes you think you don't deserve a place with me in hell? I heard the old accuser, and this was my reply. You're right for all the things I've done. I surely deserve to die. My righteousness is filthy rags. My goodness is unclean. There's only one thing I can say to what you've said to me. It's under the blood. Hey, amen. It's under the blood. And the song goes on to say, oh, praise His dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding Him it's under the blood. Hey, I want to tell you, I believe Eve looked back to that day where God gave her those coats of skin from those animals, and she looked back at a day as redemption. And I don't know what you're going through today, mother or any person here. If God has saved you and you're living in a life of defeat, you're letting Satan slander you and accuse you because of what you've done, you need to pipe up and say, hey, it's under the blood. Amen? I tell you, listen, that ought to make you want to get up and run a lap, church. And if not that, if that would be a little outside of your comfort zone, it ought to be at least something to make you want to say, amen. And if that's a little bit out of your comfort zone, it might be enough to make you give a nod. Amen. That's wonderful. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Eve and her redemption, her salvation. But then I want us to see Eve and her surrender. You say, where do you see Eve surrendered? I believe what's interesting to note, I believe we see Eve surrender after she had been saved, after the fall, and then after her salvation. I believe I see surrender in her life. I see it through her sons. Remember the three that we have recorded here very clearly? The three sons? Her first son was by the name of Cain. Cain was the one that she perhaps thought was the promised Messiah. The one that God had said that it was going to come through her seed, but Cain was not. And she figured that out very quickly. I don't know all the details about Cain's young life. I don't know about his adolescent years. But we do know the kind of person he was as he grew to be an adult. Because we know for a fact that he did murder his brother. And that was the second son that she had given birth to. His name was Abel, which means breath, vapor, or even can be translated vanity. And I don't know all the reasons why she named him that, but the fact of the matter is, she did. And I wonder if she was thinking in her heart by the life of Cain and how he responded and how the things he did. I wonder if she named him because of that. But nevertheless, Abel offered a righteous sacrifice. Cain didn't like it. He was jealous because his was not accepted. And by the way, it's a whole nother message. God gave him a chance to do it again. But he did not. He got filled with anger and wrath and it responded in murder. And Abel was a martyr. So you see, where you're getting Eve's surrenders because Eve did not give up. She didn't give up. And you know what God gave her? Seth. Do you know what the name Seth means? Appointed one. The one who was appointed to be the Messiah. Eve didn't get bitter because she had a son that rebelled and murdered the one son that was doing right. She didn't get bitter because, and the scriptures do not indicate, she didn't get bitter because Abel died. She didn't get bitter about that. She simply kept a surrendered heart, trusting in God, and God blessed her with Seth. And it was through Seth that the Messiah would come. Hallelujah. Yes, sin was a bridge. Eve was a bridge for sin to enter into the world and so through Adam. But the fact of the matter is, God would say, yes, Satan, you got her. You deceived her. But guess what? I'm going to have the last word. Woo! Aren't you glad God's got the last word here? I don't know what you're going through in life. But know it, friend. Be encouraged. God has the last word. And Satan may try to devastate you, ruin you, discourage you, depress you, you name it. He will try it. But you get back to knowing that God has a purpose for you. And it's going to be to glorify His holy and precious name. And God forgives, God cleanses, God restores, just like He did with Eve. Oh, I see her surrender through her sons. And God would go on to bless in a mighty way. Even though sin still exists today, we see the path of redemption that God lays out in His Word through Genesis and Revelation. And God has the last word. You know, we learn that we have been created for a purpose. And that Satan will seek to convince us otherwise. We've been designed and created for a purpose. And sometimes he will succeed in convincing us otherwise. But not without God providing salvation and redemption. We learn from Eve, church, that it's not how we start off in life. It is how we finish. It is how we finish. Eve would have a point in her life where we would all look at as failure in our own lives as well. She didn't let it end there. And my message to you this morning from the authority of God's Word, do not let Satan convince you that it's over. Because it's not over until God says it's over. Let's pray.